We shall now turn to the portion of Scripture which we read, and we shall consider this morning chapter 19 of Luke, Luke chapter 19 and verses 1 to 10. Luke 19 and the section verses 1 to 10. There's nothing more important than salvation. You and I must be saved. If you're not saved, there's a miserable eternity awaiting you. We have in verse 10 a wonderful truth. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And every one of us are born into this world lost. Lost and on the way to a lost eternity. Born sinners under the wrath and curse of God. That's why we need to be born again. Born again as new creatures. We need to be saved. We need to be found by Christ. And we're told here that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost? Have you been found? Well, let's look then at this passage today where we see a lost man found. First of all, we're told in verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now here's the opportunity of a lifetime. There's this man, Zacchaeus, and he lives in Jericho. And Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Just as Jesus is passing through this church today, he's passing by in front of you. Just at the end of the previous chapter, we're told about a man, Bartimaeus, sat by the wayside begging, and he hears a crowd of people going by, and he asks, "What's going on?" And people say to him, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." And he cries out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus is passing by. And he's passing by for the last time. He's on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified, to die. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he starts crying out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people say, "Be quiet. You're causing a fuss. You're disturbing the peace." But the more they told him to be quiet, the more he yelled out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus heard him. And Jesus stopped. Jesus always hears us when we cry. If we cry to him in earnest, we really pray to him, he will hear and he will answer. So Jesus stopped and called for him and asked, "What do you want?" "I want my eyes to be opened." And his eyes were opened. And not just his physical eyes, but his spiritual eyes. And he followed Jesus. And here's another man, Zacchaeus. And Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And there you are today sitting in this seat in the church here in Stornoway. And Jesus is passing by. And maybe today is the last time Jesus will pass you by. And will you call out to him today to be saved? Or will you be tomorrow in hell in a lost eternity. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Zacchaeus, who was he? He was a chief publican. Now, what were these publicans? They were people who gathered taxes for the Romans. The Romans ruled over the known world of the time. They had conquered all the countries around the Mediterranean, and they used these Jews as tax collectors for them. And they were hated. Nobody loves the tax collector. And certainly the Jews didn't like the idea of some foreign power collecting their taxes, taking away their money. The Jews were a very proud people, and they still are today. Very proud. They've got an amazing history, and they've clinged on to their history down through the centuries. It's amazing how, although they've been scattered through the whole world for 2,000 years, persecuted, downtrodden, expelled from different countries, as they were expelled from England in the past, but still they're there, still surviving. They're very proud. But at the end of the day, we're all sinners and we all need a Savior. We all need to repent and to return to the Lord for mercy. And although the Jews were a special people and are a special people, they're a lost people and they need to be saved. But the Jews, they regarded the publicans as traitors. They were on the side of the Romans, and they were people who chose this low employment that everyone hated them, but for the sake of money, they chose it. And not only were they hated as traitors, but they were hated because they were thieves. Many of them were thieves. They would charge more taxes than they should, and then they would pocket the difference. And we're told about this man that he was rich. Rich by fleecing his fellow Jews. So, a traitor and a thief. I wonder, are you a thief? Have you ever stolen anything? Did you ever steal as a child? Take something that you were told you shouldn't take? Have you ever charged more expenses than you should? Paid less taxes than you ought? Made claims that you shouldn't claim? Taken things that you shouldn't take? Used things you shouldn't use? You're a sinner. You're a thief. And you're not only guilty before men, but you're guilty before God. God gave us 10 commandments. And if you break even one of them, you're a sinner, a condemned sinner, under his wrath and curse. So here was this man, Zacchaeus, a traitor, a thief, a publican. He needed to be saved. And he was saved. And that's the wonderful thing about it. You can commit all kinds of crimes and yet be saved. You can be an adulterer, a rapist, a child abuser, a murderer, and be saved. There's all sorts of sins that you can commit and be saved. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So Christ came into the world to save the worst sinners. And that includes you, a lost sinner, and you can be saved today. Zacchaeus, the publican. And he sought, verse 3, to see Jesus, who he was, and could not, for the press, for the crowd, because he was little of stature. He wanted to see Jesus. I wonder, why did he want to see Jesus? Well, possibly it was curiosity. Curiosity can be very, very strong thing and often gets people into trouble. Curiosity. But sometimes it gets people to go to the right place. And it got this man Zacchaeus to go to the right place. No doubt he had heard about the miracles of Jesus. Everybody was talking about it. The dumb speaking, the deaf hearing, the blind seeing, the lame walking, the lepers being cleansed. All kinds of sick people being healed, disabled people having their disability removed, devils cast out of people, crowds of people being fed with one boy's picnic lunch, the storm on the Sea of Galilee being stilled, walking on the waters. What a mighty, amazing person Jesus was and is. People were talking about him. And then his preaching, it was so interesting. It was full of these amazing parables. And he spoke with authority. There was a power about his speech and a certainty about it. He wasn't saying, this rabbi says such and such, and that rabbi says something else. He was saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, I say unto you. People of old time have said this, but I say unto you. He had wonderful things to declare. And everybody was talking about him. And so Zacchaeus hears, and he's interested. He wants to find out. But I think there was something more than just curiosity. Surely there was something more. Here is a man who's been a publican, who's been very successful, who's now very rich. He has a big house, big bank balance. He's got everything this world can give him. But he's minus the one most important thing of all. He doesn't have salvation. And you know, you can have all that this world can give you. You can be rich and you can be successful. And you can also be popular. You can have so many things. But one day you're going to die. And if you die without Christ, you're lost. Lost forever. And you end up in that place of weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth forever. How miserable. Who wants to end up in hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? Zacchaeus, no doubt his conscience was troubling him. And his conscience ought to trouble him, as your conscience ought to trouble you. Because you're a sinner, just as Zacchaeus was, and so am I. And no doubt this man was had heard about Jesus and his gospel and his preaching. And he wondered. He knew that something was missing. And he wondered. Maybe Jesus has the answer. He wanted to see Jesus. What's taking you along to church today? Maybe your parents have forced you to come. Maybe you've always gone. Maybe tradition. Maybe a feeling of, well, it's the right thing to do, to go to church. Maybe a bit of curiosity, what's going on in the church? A sense of duty, perhaps. Or maybe you've come because you know you need something, and it's there in the church. There's something missing that you need. Well, here's Zacchaeus then. And he wanted to see Jesus. And the next thing we notice about him is, because he's little of stature, he can't get near to Jesus. He's a little man. He runs ahead, climbs up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. Must have looked a little bit silly climbing up a tree. When did you last climb up a tree? Possibly you didn't climb a tree since you were a kid, child. But here's this man, and he's prepared to do something that makes him look a little bit foolish. Are you prepared to do something that might make you unpopular? That people might mock you for, laugh at you because of it? It's amazing how concerned people are to be thought of as clever and wise and sensible. It's amazing how concerned people can be to be popular. And it's a great danger. Jesus said, "Beware when all men speak well of you." Those who are really popular with man, are never popular with God. The false prophets were popular. The true prophets were never popular. "Blessed are ye when all men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So it's a bad thing if you're too concerned about what people say. And sadly, there's quite a number of people. And the thing that keeps them from becoming Christians is that they're afraid of being mocked, laughed at, rejected. Better to be rejected by this world than to be rejected by God. So he climbs up a tree. He doesn't care what people think. And then Jesus comes along, and we're told that Jesus looked up and saw him. Was it just a chance that Jesus looked up? It just happened that as he was walking along, Jesus looked up. No, it wasn't. It was part of God's eternal plan. You see, nothing really happens by chance. There's no such thing as luck when it comes to God. Remember, on another occasion, Jesus must pass through Samaria. And he must stop at a certain well. And he must sit at that well. And the disciples must leave him and go into the town to buy food. And a woman must come out at that very point in time with her water pot to get some water from the well. And Jesus must ask her for a drink. And she must continue the conversation. Why? Because from all eternity, it was planned and purposed that the woman of Samaria would be converted at the well. Just as it was planned from all eternity that Zacchaeus would be converted in the tree. Was it planned from all eternity that you'd be converted here this morning? God has his plan. Where do you fit into God's plan? Sometimes seemingly insignificant things can be very significant. Jesus looked up and saw him. And then Jesus said to him, "Make haste and come down. Hurry up. Don't delay." How many people there are who do delay? How many there are who say, "Well, one day I'll become a Christian when I'm a bit older. After I grow up, after I get a job, after I get married, when I have children, when I settle down, when I'm retired, when I've done this, done that, then I'll seek the Lord." Procrastination, putting it off. Satan says, "Stay up in the tree and don't come down." Christ says, "Make haste and come down." What about you then? Are you delaying? Are you putting it off? Making excuses? Remember what David said to Ahimelech the priest. "The business of the king requireth haste." And if the business of King Saul requires haste, how much more the business of the King of Kings requires haste? Don't delay. Don't put it off. There's lots of people in hell today who thought, "One day I'll seek the Lord. One day I'll be converted." Not today. Maybe tomorrow. And tomorrow never came. Will you be like that? Regretting wasted opportunities. And then we're told that Zacchaeus came down. He did make haste and came down. The problem with so many is that they won't come down, isn't it? They're so proud. They're so self-righteous. Jesus said, "Except you become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." Why is that? Because people want to earn salvation. They want to merit it. They say, "This gospel is too simple. It's too easy. It's not like that. Somehow or other, I've got to try harder. I've got to work. I've got to do this and do that. I've got to stop this and stop that. And then struggling on somehow or other, I'll merit salvation." No, you'll never merit salvation. Though you spent 1,000 years struggling for it, you never will. You can only accept salvation like a child accepts a gift, with no thought of what you can give back. Just take it. It's free. And it's offered to you. Make haste and come down. Don't be proud. Don't be self-righteous. Don't be arrogant. Don't be thinking, "I can do it myself." Make haste and come down. And he made haste. And he came down. Jesus says, today I must abide at thy house. Will you have him? Do you want him into your house? Into your life? Christ offers to come into your life. Do you want him? In fact, at this very moment, he's knocking at your door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him, and he with me. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Are you keeping the door bolted against him? Will you receive him? Will you hear his voice and open the door? If you will, he will come in and dwell with you. Today I must abide at thy house. Do you want Jesus in your house? Today I must abide at thy house. Not 20 years' time, but today. Don't put it off. And we're told that he came down and received him joyfully. That's salvation, isn't it? What is saving faith? Saving faith is, it's a saving grace whereby we receive and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. To receive Christ, to embrace him, to take him into your heart and life. Come, Jesus, I want you. Enter my heart. Come and stay there. Come and take over in my life. He's freely offered to you. Yes, indeed. Freely offered to you in the gospel. God commissioned me as a minister of the gospel to offer you Christ. Do you want him? Will you have him? He's more willing to come and dwell in your heart than you are to invite him in. Why do you keep him out when he offers to come in? Zacchaeus came down from the tree and received Christ. Will you come down from your tree, as it were, and receive and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you welcome him into your life? And he received him joyfully. There's no joy like the joy of finding Christ. There's no joy like knowing that Christ is in your heart. I remember 52 years ago in Stornoway in Kenneth Street, in the church there, knowing for sure that Christ had come into my heart and was my Savior. I remember the overflowing joy, the love of God shed abroad in my heart. It's a wonderful thing to be loved. And it's the most wonderful thing of all, to be loved by God and to feel God's love, Christ's love, that he loved me so much that he came from heaven and suffered and died on the cross of Calvary for me. He loved me, and he gave himself for me. The wonder of it. The glory of it. There's nothing like it. The joy. You know, the devil says, there's a lot of joy that you're going to miss out on if you become a Christian. What a liar he is. A Christian has the best of both worlds. The devil says, no, no, no. There's joy. There's joy in drinking. There's joy in drugs. And there's joy in dancing. And there's joy in fornication, sex. All the joys that you're going to miss out on. Just this last week, we've been hearing about Amy Winehouse first. How she died at the age of 27 of alcohol poisoning. Great singer. Made such a big impression. So popular. All these fans. Dying of alcohol poisoning at the age of 27. What a wonderful success. What an amazing life. What an achievement. What a success of Satan. Friends, that's what the devil promises. He said to our first parents, just eat this fruit. You'll feel like God. It'll be divine. And they ate the fruit. And what did they feel? Naked and ashamed and miserable and frightened. It's always the same. Look not upon the wine when it is red in the cup. And in the end it bites like a serpent. All these promises, promises of Satan, and their lies. There's no joy like the joy of being a Christian, enjoying God. And there's no bitterness. There's no sting at the end. But the best is yet to come. The best is in the future. He received him joyfully. But then we notice the critics. The people saying, the crowd saying, this can't be right. When they saw it, verse 7, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus, he's a sinner. He's a thief. He's a traitor. No place for such people in church. We don't want these sinners in our church. We don't want people like that. He's too bad. He's not our type. If he came to the church, he might steal from somebody. He might do some harm to somebody. Well, sometimes you find that kind of attitude amongst Christians. Well, Pharisaical Christians. Real Christians welcome the worst of individuals. Because Christ came to save sinners, even the chief of sinners. Let's not worry about what the people say. Let's not be concerned about the critics. Who cares what they say? What really matters at the end of the day is, what does God say? What does God think? That's what matters. Not what the critics say. But then we notice a new life. There's a real change in Zacchaeus. See his charity. He says, the half of my goods I give to the poor. From now on, I'm going to give half of my money to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, if I've stolen from anybody, I'll not only give them back what I took away, but I'll give them four times as much. You see, when grace comes into somebody's heart, they're transformed. They're made into new people. You're born again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. I remember a man in our congregation in Portree. He was an alcoholic. His life a mess. And then he was converted. And his wife said, no way. No way is he going to change. He'll just be the same old person. But he has changed. Been transformed. For many years now he's been following the Lord. An elder in the church. A new man. A wretch from the gutter. Exalted into a place in the church of God. And that's the way it is, isn't it? Whoever you are, whatever your problem, whatever your addiction, the Lord is able to sort it out. God can make you new. He can transform you. He changed Zacchaeus from being a sinner into being a saint. And he can do that for you as well. Whoever you are and whatever your problems. And then Jesus says, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Who are the sons of Abraham? Those who are genetically connected to Abraham. Judas was one of them, wasn't he? And he certainly wasn't saved. He went to his own place. It's not being a son of Abraham according to the flesh that matters. What matters is, are we children of Abraham by faith? Abraham was the father of the faithful. And you and I are children, not just of Abraham by faith, children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Is Abraham your father? Yes, if you're a Christian. But no, even if you're a Jew, if you're still an unbeliever. This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What a wonderful truth then concludes this section of Scripture. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is come. Why is he come? To seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost? He has come to save you. Are you going to be saved? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? He's willing to save. Accept him as your Savior. Receive and embrace him as your Savior. Take him into your heart and into your life. And don't just leave it for tonight or tomorrow or next week or next year. He can save you just now. And he will save you just now if you believe in him. If you put your trust in him. If you ask him to save you. If you cry like blind Bartimaeus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee that salvation full and free is available to all, whosoever will, Let him come and let him drink of the water of life freely. We thank thee, O Lord, for this glorious gospel of God's redeeming grace. We rejoice in it. It thrills our hearts. The fact that we have a loving God in heaven who so loved the world that he gave his loving Son to come and suffer and die on the cross of Calvary, who having died has risen again to heaven and sends his loving Holy Spirit to apply to us this redemption that he has purchased. We thank thee, O Lord, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are stretching out their hands to us today. One God in three persons stretching out his hands to save. Look unto me and be saved. All day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. O Lord our God, keep us from being disobedient, gainsaying, and rebellious, and help us to receive and embrace the Savior for ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.